the Lord, you're coming along on those plans, and the Lord will work it all out. He always does. All right, folks, let's grab our Bibles tonight as we get right to our study, our Sunday evening study. We're still in the Shekinah glory in history and prophecy. Tonight is part five. We're moving along. And tonight, God willing, we're going to finish up our look at the Old Testament appearances of the Shekinah. And then next week we'll begin our New Testament appearances of the Shekinah. It's quite a book you hold in your lap, the King James Bible. Well, tonight as we come to our fifth study on the Shekinah, during the Old Testament period, we've seen 10 of the 13 total appearances. So we'll pick it up now with appearance number 11. Appearance number 11 is found in the book of 1 Kings chapter 8. So if you have your Bible there, open up to 1 Kings chapter 8. And this is the 11th appearance, which is the appearance at the Solomonic Temple. The appearance at the Solomonic Temple. That is the dedication of the temple. Now in 1 Kings chapter 8, when Solomon built the temple of God at Jerusalem, he also built a brand new Holy of Holies within it, of course. Now listen, it was at this point that the Shekinah glory of God was literally transferred from the tabernacle where it abode for, oh my, over 400 years, right? It was over 400 years in that tabernacle, and was transferred from the tabernacle that Moses created in 1400-something B.C. to its new home in the Holy of Holies in Solomon's Temple, where it would abide for over 500 years. It's incredible stuff, folks. Now listen. First, the Ark of the Covenant was brought in to its new residence within the Holy of Holies of Solomon's Temple. This is prior to the Shekinah transferring, okay? First, the Ark of the Covenant had to be transferred to its new home. Look at verse 1 of 1 Kings chapter 8. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Now remember, David has died. Solomon has taken the throne over all Israel before it got divided. And that would occur not in Solomon's day. He'll have 40 years of peace. But in his son Rehoboam's reign, the kingdom would be divided, where Jeroboam stole 10 tribes away. And all of the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month Ethanim, which is the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. And they brought up the ark of the Lord. That's the ark of the covenant, also called the ark of the testimony. And the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those did the priests and the Levites bring up. And they were the only ones allowed in. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. You've got to approach God through a blood sacrifice. You know that. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place. That's the Holy of Holies in the temple. Into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark. And the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves, that the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle. And they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone, which Moses put there in Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. Now, here in these verses, folks, we have the fulfillment of God's promise to choose out a certain city within Israel, a certain place
to reside amongst his people, Israel, where all the males of Israel were required to come, that's Jerusalem, 3 times each year on set feast days to appear before the Lord, the God of Israel. But, secondly, observe the actual transference of the Shekinah glory from the tabernacle into the temple of Solomon. We're going to see that here. Look at verse 10. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud, the Shekinah, filled the house of the Lord, the temple of Solomon. See that in verse 10? Now, here we have the actual transference of the Shekinah glory of God from the tabernacle, where it abode for over 400 years, into the temple of Solomon. The most glorious temple ever built in the history of the world, by the way. But there's one coming greater than it. It's not yet been built. It's going to be over there in Israel during the millennium, because the Messiah himself will build the millennial temple. Oh. Now, this was glorious. Thirdly, though, first we saw the transference of the Ark of the Covenant. Second, we saw the transference of the Shekinah glory itself. Thirdly, notice the inability of the priests and Levites to remain in the Holy of Holies. Verse 11. So that, and now verse 10 said, the cloud filled the house of the Lord, the Shekinah glory. So that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory, Shekinah, of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Woo-hoo! Folks, you got to get the picture here. All Israel is standing around Jerusalem watching this great event take place. And suddenly they see the cloud of God's glory abiding in the temple and ascending upward toward heaven. And the priest, it was so glorious that the priest could not stay in there. And they had to come out because of the glory of God. Now, the fourth thing I want you to see. Notice Solomon's reminding the people of God's promise to dwell amongst them in the thick darkness of the most holy place. Look at verse 12. Then spake Solomon, a great leader, the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. Now, here in verse 12, Moses, as every good minister will do, is reminding the people of God that God is with you. He is abiding, residing with you. He's not far away. He's right here with you. Amen? And that's what he says, and that's the Shekinah glory. He says, look at verse 12. He says, the Lord said that he would dwell with you in the thick darkness. That's the, when he says the thick darkness, he's talking about the most holy place. You had the outer court, right, of the temple. You had the holy place. That's the in-between. Then you had the most holy place called the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of God and the Shekinah glory resided, and the mercy seat of pure gold, okay? Now, fifthly, before we go to our fifth point, go to Exodus 29. Why did God say, or where did God say, that he would dwell amongst the children of Israel in the thick darkness? Well, if you go back to Exodus chapter 29, I want you to see where he said it. Here, God is giving Moses the pattern. He's given him the schematic for the tabernacle, and everything that would be inside that tabernacle. Everything was blueprinted for him in black and white. He said, see that thou make all things according to the fashion shown thee in the mount. Okay? Now he did. Now look what happens here. In chapter 29 of Exodus, verse 43. And there, this is God speaking to Moses. And there, that's in the tabernacle, I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory, my Shekinah. See it? And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And, watch it, verse 45. I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Did you see what God promised right there? He said, I'm going to come into that temple. My Shekinah glory is going to fill it. A glorious cloud of my presence will fill the temple at Jerusalem. And I will dwell among my people. You see that? So go back to 1 Kings chapter 8. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 8. Look at verse 12 again. Then spake Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness amongst you. And God always keeps his promises. Amen? So this is the fulfillment of Exodus 29 verse 45. You see that? This is the fulfillment of the Shekinah glory coming into that temple of Solomon and dwelling with the children of Israel. You know what, folks? Let me make a statement. The children of Israel had it made. They had everything they needed for time and eternity because they had God with them. Let me make a statement, church. You have it made. You have everything that you need for time and eternity because you have God dwelling with you. He is so close to you, he's in you. Isn't that good? Now, there's something else here. Fifthly, concerning this dedication of the temple. Fifthly, observe Solomon's reminding the people that God himself, in the Shekinah form, would now dwell amongst them in this new habitation called Solomon's Temple. Look at verse 13. Solomon says, I have surely built thee an house to dwell in. It's a temple. A settled place for thee to abide in forever. Solomon says before all the people that God is going to abide in that temple. And when you need him, he'll be there for you. Isn't that good? I love that. 12th. We have the 12th Old Testament appearance of the Shekinah. And that is at the literal departure of the Shekinah prior to the exile to Babylon. Go to the book of Ezekiel. That was the 11th appearance at Solomon's temple. But the 12th appearance is found in the book of Ezekiel. Go with me to Ezekiel chapter 1. Here is an amazing passage of scripture concerning the Shekinah glory. It appears to a man named Ezekiel. He's a prophet. Now, prior to the Shekinah glory's departure from Jerusalem, you know he left, right? He left. He left Jerusalem. He left the temple. He left the most holy place. You know why? Because of idolatry. He was forced to leave because of the sins of Israel. Okay, we're going to see that here in Ezekiel. What happens in Ezekiel? The children of Israel go into captivity where? Babylon. That's right, Lucas. Babylon. How long did they stay there? 70 years. You're correct. 70 years. Why? Because of idolatry. God never would have kicked them out of their own land if they didn't sin against him. Now, the Shekinah makes an appearance to the prophet Ezekiel here in chapter 1 in order to reveal to him his coming departure from Israel. Ezekiel chapter 1, look at it. Now it came to pass, in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, he gives you the exact day that this occurred. As I was amongst the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Now, he's going to see the Shekinah. Now, what happened here in verse 1 is there's three deportations to Babylon from Jerusalem. They're separated by a period of 14 years because the battle, the siege of Jerusalem lasted for some period of years. The first departure, they took like maybe 12,000. And the second departure occurs about 5-6 years later, where they take more people. And then the final departure, the third departure of the children of Israel to Babylon, was like 14 years later. They took them all, okay, except for vine dresses. Now, in verse 2, in the 5th day of the month, that which was the 5th year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, bad dude, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Chebar. And the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, watch what he says, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. A great what? A great what? Read it. Verse 4. Come on, church. Anybody following? Okay, we're in Ezekiel. A great cloud. Thank you, June. We're in Ezekiel chapter 1, folks, verse 4. You got to see this. I looked and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. A great cloud. It's the Shekinah. Verse 4. And a fire enfolding itself. And a brightness was about it. Yeah, the glory of God. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Here comes the Shekinah glory, making a direct appearance to the prophet Ezekiel. Why? He wants to give him a message for God's people. All right? Drop down to verse 25. In case you doubt, look at verse 25. And then he sees the chariot of God. Okay? And there's a throne above the firmament on which the second person of the Godhead sits. Watch. Verse 25. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads, the cherubim, when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. It's the throne of God. As the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. See that? It's a theophany. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins, even upward, and from the appearance of his loins, even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. And as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the what? The glory of the Lord, the Shekinah. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. So here comes the Shekinah glory. Ezekiel is so flabbergasted by the appearance that he falls prostrate on the ground before God's glory. That's a proper thing to do. When God shows up, worship him. Amen? It's the Shekinah glory showing up. Now go to chapter 3. He's got a message for Ezekiel. Look at chapter 3 of Ezekiel. Look with me at verse number 10. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears. And go, get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, Israel. And speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. God says, listen, Ezekiel, I want you to go to these people, and I want you to give them a message from me. And if they will accept it, fine. And if not, that's fine too, but you just give them my message. See that? 12. Then the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. Blessed be the Shekinah of the Lord from his place. See that? Now drop down to verse 22. Watch this. Again, he's going to recognize the Shekinah. And the hand of the Lord was there upon me. And he said unto me, arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee. Then I arose and went forth into the plain. And behold, the what?
Glory.
The glory of the Lord stood there, the Shekinah, as the glory which I saw by the river of Chebar, and I fell on my face. I love this. Now, it's the Shekinah glory appearing to Ezekiel to give him a message for Israel. Now, go to chapter 8. It gets better. In chapter 8, he's not only going to give him the message, he's going to tell him the exact words to speak to them. I like that. In chapter 8, and it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. He's in the spirit. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire. It's the Shekinah. And from the appearance of his loins even downward, fire. And from his loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. And he put forth the form of an hand, and took me by a lock of mine head, And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, lifted me up between the earth and the heaven and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. Now this was an idol that the children of Israel had set up in the temple. An abomination. Look at it. And behold, verse 4, the what? Glory of God. The God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. The Shekinah glory is present. Now, notice in these three passages that we just read, that the Shekinah is clearly associated with the cherubims. You notice that? Those cherubims abode in the tabernacle above the mercy seat. They overshadowed it where God sat. That was the Shekinah glory, burning brightly, that cloud of glory. Well, those cherubims, they're angels, right? And they surrounded God. Now, just as it was in the Garden of Eden, those cherubim were in the tabernacle. And just as they were in the tabernacle, they're in Solomon's temple now. You see that? Back in 1 Kings chapter 8, the cherubim were there in Solomon's temple as well. Why? Because they're real. The carved images of the cherubim were a portrait of the real ones. Okay? Now, notice that the Shekinah, in these three passages, all three, is also associated with the Holy Spirit. He's associated with the cherubim. He's associated with fire. He's associated with the Holy Spirit here. Now, next, Ezekiel relates the Shekinah's departure from Israel in four specific stages. I'm going to give them to you. If you want to take notes, that's fine. But go with me. Now, folks, the reason that the departure of the Shekinah glory from Israel took four specific stages to leave is because of the reluctancy of God to leave his people. He didn't want to do it. He wanted them to repent and make things right, amend their ways, and he would stay. But they refused to repent, so he sent them into captivity in Babylon, and his glory departed. Ichabod, written over the temple, Solomon's temple. Go with me here to Ezekiel chapter 9. First of all, we're going to look at stage 1. Stage 1 of the Shekinah's departure from Israel. Stage 1 is where the Shekinah transfers himself from the Holy of Holies in Solomon's temple to the threshold of the door of the temple. Okay? The threshold of the door. That's where you enter the temple. Now, go with me to chapter 9. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. These are angels. Destruction is coming to Israel here because of their sin. And behold, six men, angels, I don't have time to show you this, is angels, came from the way of the higher gate which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. Those angels you don't want to mess with. One angel took out 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. You don't want to mess with God's angels. Listen, and one man, angel, among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. He's a recorder. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. They're now inside the temple, these angels, okay? Are you ready? Verse 3. And the what? Glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was on the mercy seat to the threshold, the door of the house, the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city. What city? Jerusalem. Through the midst of Jerusalem and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. You see what God is doing here? He's making a separation between the wicked and the righteous. See it in verse 4? He says, you put a mark upon my believers, upon those who worship me, the true God, the living God of Israel. Put a mark that they be not destroyed by the destroying angels. See that? Verse 4. The Shekinah of glory is saying this to Ezekiel. Now, in this first stage, can also be seen in chapter 10. You want to see it one more time before we go to the second stage. Go to chapter 10. Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them as it were a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. And he spake unto the man clothed with linen, and said, Go in between the wheels, even under the cherub, and fill thine hand with the coals of fire. From that fire represents the wrath of God. From between the cherubims, and scatter them. What? The coals of fire. Over the city, Jerusalem. And he went in my sight. Now the cherubim stood on the right side of the house, the temple, when the man went in. And the cloud filled the inner court. Now notice here, the Shekinah glory, is it now he's in the inner court. He's not in the most holy place. He's now in the inner court. Okay, let me explain. You've got the outer court. When you enter the temple, you're in the outer court. Okay? But in between the most holy place and the outer court, you have the inner court. Okay? That's where the Shekinah is now in verse number 3. See that? The cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah, went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, the door, the outer door of the temple. And the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. Now, he's talking about the outer court now. The outer court is now filled with the Lord's glory. Why? He's opening the door of the temple. He's leaving. Okay, this is stage one of his departure. Next, we have the second stage of his departure. Again, in chapter 10. In this second stage of the Shekinah's departure, he will move from the threshold of the door of the temple to the eastern gate of the city. Look at it. Verse 16. Chapter 10, verse 16. And when the cherubim went, the wheels went by them. And when the cherubims lifted up... Now, time out, church. Time out. Before we continue, let me explain what's going on so you can paint the picture in your mind. Okay? When this chariot, the throne of God, comes down, the cherubim are underneath, and they got wheels, and wheels inside the wheels, right? This is God's chariot upon which he moves through the universe, okay? He's coming down to Israel to pick something up from Jerusalem. What is that? What is he going to take back to heaven with him when his chariot leaves? Think. The Shekinah glory. The Shekinah glory is about to jump on board God's chariot and be flown back to heaven. Okay, I'm going to show you that. Look at here in verse 16. And when the cherubims went, the cherubims that drive the chariot of God from chapter 1, the wheels went by them. And when the cherubims lifted up their wings to mount up from the earth, the same wheels also turned not from beside them. When they stood, these stood. And when they were lifted up, these lifted up themselves also. For the spirit of the living creature was in them. Okay? These are angels. Then, look at verse 18. Then the glory of the Lord. What's the next word?
Departed.
Wow. Wow. They've never seen this word concerning the glory, the Shekinah glory, before in their entire history. Then the glory, the Shekinah of the Lord, departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubims. He just got up on top of the chariot. You see it? And the cherubims lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. And when they went out, the wheels also were beside them, and everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house. And the glory of the God of Israel was over above them. He's leaving. How sad! Now, the Shekinah has now officially left the temple for the first time in nearly 500 years. Okay? Listen. The third stage, go to chapter 11. I want you to see the third stage of his departure. He hasn't left Israel yet. He's delaying. He's reluctant to leave because his heart is breaking. In chapter 11, here, in the third stage of the Shekinah's departure, he moves from the eastern gate to the Mount of Olives. Look at verse 21. Chapter 11, verse 21. Then did the cherubims lift up their wings, and the wheels beside them, and the glory, Shekinah, of the God of Israel was over them, above. He's on the throne. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city, and stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city, Jerusalem. We know that's the Mount of Olives. We know that. Afterwards, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, took me up and brought me into a vision by the Spirit of God into Chaldea to them of the captivity. So the vision that I had seen went up from me. Then I spake unto them of the captivity all the things that the Lord had showed me. Ezekiel went to Babylon and told the children of Israel who were in captivity, guess what, boys? The glory has departed. The Shekinah glory that we've had for 500 years has left the temple. It's gone. It's gone. Why? Because of their sin. Because of their idolatry. Now here we find in the third stage of his departure where he reluctantly again hesitates upon the Mount of Olives this time. He's looking down upon the holy city, Jerusalem. His heart is breaking. But in the fourth stage of his departure, the Shekinah glory left Israel and disappears from Jewish history entirely. Oh, folks, this is a serious message tonight. He's about to disappear from Jewish history entirely. Now, and he will be gone for some 2,500 years. You know he's coming back? The Shekinah is coming back to Israel? Back to the millennial temple that the Messiah will build? Oh, yeah. Ezekiel chapter 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, and 48 tell you graphic descriptions of the millennial temple, the Shekinah glory indwelling that temple for 1,000 years. It's coming back. Good news for Israel. Rabbinic tradition states that the Shekinah remained upon the Mount of Olives for 3.5 years, awaiting Israel's repentance before returning to heaven. But truly, Ichabod was now written over Israel. The glory is departed. Okay, that was the 12th appearance, the appearance to the prophet Ezekiel. The final appearance, the 13th appearance in the Old Testament, is a promised Shekinah presence. Go with me to the book of Haggai. Just go to Matthew and turn back a couple books, you'll be there. Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi are the three post-exile prophets, okay? They prophesied after the return of the captives from Babylon to Jerusalem, okay? They're called post-exilic prophets. You had exilic prophets like Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Daniel was there. And then you had pre-exilic prophets, a whole bunch of them, Isaiah, the whole rest of them, Zephaniah. But here, look with me here, for our final appearance in the Old Testament, in the book of Haggai, Haggai chapter 2. And this final appearance of the Shekinah is actually a promised Shekinah presence to Israel. Look in Haggai chapter 2. Okay, after the return of the exiles from Babylonian captivity, the second temple was built, commonly called Zerubbabel's temple or Herod's temple. It's the same. Herod's temple is Zerubbabel's temple. Because Herod did not create a new one, he simply renovated Zerubbabel's temple, okay? Yes. Some preachers are confused about that for some reason. It's common in Jewish history. Just read Josephus. Herod renovated it, but this is Zerubbabel's temple. It's not a rebuilt temple, okay? The Shekinah glory did not inhabit the second temple. Solomon's temple was the first temple. Zerubbabel's temple is the second temple. Something was missing in Zerubbabel's temple. The Shekinah glory. Remember he departed? He's gone. He's not there. There's no cloud. There's no smoke. There's no fire. The presence of God is gone after the captivity. Now, look at chapter 2. I want you to see this. Chapter 2 of Haggai. In the 7th month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, And there's no king. There's no king. He's just a governor. Okay? The king wouldn't show up till about 500 years later. His name is Jesus Christ. And to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory, her first Shekinah? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Do you see the question in verse number 3 that Zerubbabel asks the people? He says, how many of you, and very, very few, were alive from before the captivity that actually saw the Solomonic temple? Very few. Remember, it was 70 years in Babylon, right? So they had to be at least 80 years of age now to have lived when there were children to see the first temple, Solomon, now to see Zerubbabel's temple. And he asks him this question. How does this temple, those of you who saw the glory of Solomon's temple, very few, how does this compare to Solomon's temple? He says, isn't it like nothing? It says nothing at all. Why? Something incredible was missing from Zerubbabel's temple. That's the Shekinah glory. See it? 4. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. I wonder who that is. And I will fill this house with what? Does anybody catch the promised Shekinah presence in verse 7? Yep. He said, I am going to fill this house. He's talking about, folks, listen to me. Listen very carefully. I study this. He's talking about Zerubbabel's temple. He's not talking about a millennial temple, and he's not talking about a tribulation period temple, which will be built. He's talking about this Zerubbabel temple. Look at it, verse 7. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. First advent. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, this is amazing. Notice here the promise of God that one day the Shekinah would return to his temple, but that he would return to this temple, Zerubbabel's, in a different form. In a different form. In fact, he would appear in this temple of Zerubbabel's in a superior form than the Shekinah form. Okay? It's going to be a Shekinah appearance, but it's not going to be a cloud. I'm going to give you a hint. He's going to come in a superior form than the Shekinah form of the Solomonic temple. Okay? But not yet. He said, not till the desire of all nations come. First advent. And because this temple was obliterated, listen to me. Because this temple of Zerubbabel was obliterated in AD 70, it no longer stands. It was destroyed. There wasn't one stone left standing upon another when Titus and the Roman armies got through with Jerusalem. Over 1.3 million Jews were slaughtered in that siege. And they took the temple and they carried the gold back to Rome and they destroyed it so that the prophecy of Jesus Christ came true that not one stone was left standing upon another. What's that tell us, folks? Think. Get your thinking cap on. That fact that Zerubbabel's temple was destroyed in AD 70 necessitates the fulfillment of Haggai's prophecy here in verse 7 to take place sometime before AD 70. Did you see it? If the temple is destroyed, the Shekinah glory can't indwell it. So this prophecy had to take place sometime prior to AD 70. It did in AD 30. Oh, it's going to get good next week, folks. Because next week we're going to be in the New Testament appearances of the Shekinah. Now, look at verse 8. Same chapter. God is speaking. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory, Shekinah, of this latter house shall be what? Greater than of the former, that's Solomon's, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place, oh, thank you, I need that. In this place, Zerubbabel's temple, will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Did you see what the Lord said in verse 9? He said, boys, I got good news for you. The Shekinah is not here now, but he's coming. He's coming. When the desire of all nations, Messiah, comes, Shekinah is coming to this Zerubbabel temple before it's destroyed. We're going to see that next week, folks. Now, notice Haggai's distinction here between the Shekinah of Solomon's temple with the superiority of Zerubbabel's temple, yet Zerubbabel's temple in no way could compare with the physical grandeur of Solomon's temple. So Haggai must be speaking of some greater glory than the physical realm. Are you listening? Zerubbabel's temple was nothing next to Solomon's temple. Solomon's temple was one of the seven wonders of the world in the Old Testament dispensation. Folks, it was glorious. It had more gold than, any land anywhere. It was unbelievable. But you know what? He says the glory of this lowly temple that Zerubbabel built is going to be greater than that when I come and dwell in it. Woo! Go to Malachi chapter 3 and we'll finish up. Just after Zechariah, just before Matthew, Malachi. Malachi for you Italians. In Malachi chapter 3. And look with me. We'll finish up here. I'll give you another hint on the coming Shekinah to Zerubbabel's temple. Look at it. Malachi 3 verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come where? To his temple. To his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant. New covenant. Whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, Shekinah, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner of purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Wow, what a prophecy. He says the Lord himself, the Shekinah, is going to come, verse 1, to his temple. That's Zerubbabel's temple, not the tribulation period, not the millennial temple, and not Solomon's. Zerubbabel's. I'm going to show you that clearly next week. Father in heaven, how we thank you for tonight's study. And Lord, how we thank you that you always keep your word. Lord, we thank you that your Shekinah did return 2,000 years ago. And it was in the temple built by Zerubbabel, though they didn't recognize it. Lord, we're thankful for the word of God, which makes these truths so clear to us. We're thankful for the knowledge of the holy, the knowledge of God. We're thankful for this precious treasure of the Bible, O Lord. And we're thankful that now we are the temples of the living God, and that God dwells in us, even the Shekinah. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your word in Jesus Christ's name. The people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.